President Bush came into office as a small government conservative, vowing to stop the big spenders in Congress. He also styled himself a leader who pays little attention to politics, one who follows his principles, not the polls. But the president has made a series of decisions that violate many of his conservative principles. NPR's Mara Liasson reports he's paid little price for that with the people who care the most about those principles. Conservative Republicans.
A conservative Republican president is the last person you would expect to create a new cabinet department. After all, it wasn't very long ago that Republicans were campaigning to eliminate cabinet departments, from energy to education to commerce. But last week, after resisting the idea for months, President Bush suddenly proposed a new Department of Homeland Security, a department that would include, among other things, the Coast Guard, the Border Patrol, the Immigration Service, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
The reason to create this department is not to create the size of government, but to increase its focus and effectiveness.
That's what the president says, but there are few in Washington who doubt the new department will, in the end, expand the size and scope of the federal government. And that's not the only time Mr. Bush has reversed course and abandoned conservative principles. He signed a bill federalizing airport security personnel after opposing the idea. He signed a campaign finance reform bill after calling it unconstitutional. Although he says he's for free trade, he slapped protectionist tariffs on steel imports. He signed a farm bill packed with government subsidies and big spending. It turns out that this president is every bit as political as the man he used to scorn for being too political, Bill Clinton. University of Wisconsin professor Charles Jones says the public has learned something new about George W. Bush.
Well, above all, he's a politician. This is a president highly sensitive to what the politics are on any one issue, and a good sense of what the targets of opportunity are.
Steel tariffs, for instance, are popular in Pennsylvania, a state with 21 electoral votes. Mr. Bush narrowly lost Pennsylvania in 2000 and now considers the state a target of opportunity for 2004. But despite all this flexibility on issues of principle, the president has paid almost no price with the conservative base of his own party. On the contrary, his base is united and enthusiastic. Some polls show the president with 99% job approval rating among conservatives. It was a different story for President Bill Clinton, who had to fight the liberals in his party when he made moves to the political center. One reason is the way President Bush has chosen his battles. Where Clinton actually challenged the orthodoxy of the Democratic Party on welfare and trade, George W. Bush has not challenged his party on its bedrock issues: abortion, taxes, and guns. Grover Norquist is a conservative activist who works closely with the White House.
On the key issues that affect conservatives, he has gone to taxpayers and said, I cut your taxes. He's gone to the millions of gun owners and said, I'm with you. I'm going to protect your Second Amendment rights. He's told the pro-lifers he's going to be with them. Each piece of the center-right coalition on their primary issue has been made happy. It is on secondary and tertiary issues that there has been grumbling.
Paul Weyrich, a veteran conservative who runs the Free Congress Foundation, agrees.
Those are the really hot-button issues for which people will die. And he so far has kept his word on those.
As for the size of government, an issue that used to define the difference between the two parties, Weyrich says many conservatives now just assume government will grow.
When government increased its size under Ronald Reagan, a lot of people who had been for smaller government gave up because they said, if Ronald Reagan can't shrink the size of government, whoever can? And so I think the level of expectations is much lower.
Conservatives are also willing to give the president the benefit of the doubt on proposals that make government bigger because the U.S. is at war, and conservatives support a strong defense. California Congressman Dana Rohrabacher says conservatives on Capitol Hill may not be willing to cut the president as much slack on issues that have nothing to do with national security.
If you have a farm bill that is a gazillion dollars more in spending than it should be vetoed. If you have a piece of campaign reform that is in reality a fraud, well, then it should be vetoed. Again, you can't blame a president of the United States when he's got a United States Senate controlled by the other party from making compromises. But we conservatives would like to see a little less compromise and a little bit more heavy negotiations and perhaps even vetoes.
The president, however, has yet to veto any bills, even ones that cost much more than he insisted they should. Conservatives may be hoping that Mr. Bush begins to pick some veto fights with Congress over appropriations bills this fall, but they may be disappointed again. After all, bigger government is a bipartisan exercise, and plenty of Republican incumbents are depending on President Bush to approve of higher spending on their pet projects, the kind of higher spending that helps them get reelected. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Washington.